Good morning. Welcome to this worship service. I will have made a change for the opening. The scripture passage, Psalm 146, is actually part of the meditation or the background for it. I'm going to use it as an opening, and later on I'm going to change around the memorial hymn at a different place than it is in the bulletin. So please bear with me on that one. Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes and mortals in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Let us sing together hymn number 37. Hymn number 37. like to welcome everyone here this morning, and I will give the opportunity to introduce yourself or be introduced if you are a guest. Please feel free. No guests? Okay. We have a guest speaker today, and I'll introduce her at this time. It's Deborah, or Debbie, Martin Koop. And she is the program director at MCC Manitoba for quite a while, 14 years, I understand. And she says that she will retire at the end of this month. So I guess it's her swan song or something like that. Welcome here. And her husband, Robert, is here as well. Welcome in our midst. And they have also grandchildren. I think that's a good reason to retire. The youngest one is just a few couple of weeks old, so yes, they need grandma. If there are no other guests today, I'll go quickly to the announcements, and I'll skip one and come to that later. Number two in your bulletin, just calling attention to it. Next week, don't sleep in too long. The time will change. And those that are interested in membership or in finding out more about what Mennonites are, please contact Pastor Marv for the faith exploration class. And for the prayer shawl ministry, announcement in the bulletin is correct, but if you are looking at your calendars, the monthly calendar, the place there is wrong. So go by the bulletin, okay? The bulletin. The personnel committee has an announcement for you, so please take note of that. And the rest of you I leave for your later attention. And I think we'll just go and sing the next song. For God so loved us, Gott ist die Liebe, 167. And I invite you to stand. And after that, we'll have the children's story. So, children, after the song, you are invited to join us up here.
Doll. What's her name? What's your doll's name? What's her name? I think our Belle is more beautiful. Good morning. Okay, I'm just going to remind you that Pastor Franz read something out of Psalms that actually fits really good with our story today. So it says, don't put your life in the hands of experts. Humans don't have what it takes. Instead, get help from the God of Jacob. Put your hope in God and no real blessing. And the story that we have today is actually a story, and it comes out of the book of Mark. So it's a story about Jesus, and it's a story about a man who put his faith in God, just like that psalm from the Old Testament. So I think maybe this man might have known about that part of the Bible. So here's how the story goes. Jesus was leaving a town, and all of his disciples and a parade of people were following him. And then a blind man, and he was very poor, so they called him a beggar. So the only way that he could get money is if he asked them and people gave him money. So he was on the side of the street, poor and alone, but he heard people talking, and he knew that Jesus and his friends were walking by. And guess what he did? Does anyone know? He started to call out. He said, "Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me." So it's just like from the psalm, he was putting his faith in God. And lots of people said, "Shh." Do people say that to you all the time too? Well, maybe sometimes. People like to shush kids. But sometimes you have something important to say. And this man knew he had something important to say, so he kept saying, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And so Jesus stopped and he said, "Call him over, bring him to me." And they said, "Get up, he's calling you, go." So he took off his coat and he ran to Jesus. And Jesus said, "What do you want from me?" And what do you think he said? He's blind. What did he want? He wanted to see. Exactly. He said, "I want to see." And Jesus said, "Your faith has saved you and healed you. You can go." And guess what happened? He could see. Exactly. He put his faith in God, just like that psalm said, and he could see. So that was awesome. Can we bow our heads for prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, help us to keep our faith in you. Amen. And you guys get to go. Sunday school today.
We'll have time for sharing. And I would ask, yesterday, you might remember, yesterday was the Manitoba conference taking place in Stanwach, and Marv and Lizzie were both there, and I think they would like to share something with us. Would you like to come up here and do that? Or that way?
Okay, well, we've conspired, since we don't get the chance to preach today, to claim some time anyway. Not quite. But we were your delegates at the Mennonite Church. I'm halfway between Mennonite Church Manitoba and Mennonite Central Committee, I think, or something, at Mennonite Church Manitoba's annual meetings yesterday. But I actually wanted to go back and report to you about what I did on Friday, because Friday we had Mennonite Church Manitoba's annual leadership day. And so mostly pastors gathered to reflect on a theme that was called, King James language, love thyself as thy neighbor. Something wrong about that one, right? Something's reversed. Well, and that got me thinking about last Sunday's sermon and a little bit of reaction that I got after last Sunday's sermon from a few different sources. And last Sunday's sermon was on James chapter 3 and 4 and emphasized considerably us giving ourselves for others, which I think is a pretty consistent biblical message, and I'm not retracting words that I preached last Sunday, but this love thyself as thy neighbor focus on self-care did remind me that sometimes we just can't give everything that other people want us to give, and I thought that was a helpful thing to, you know, reflect on and be reminded of, and somehow we've got to work through those things. And I don't have the answer exactly for how we do that, but we keep on working at it. All right, well, that was Friday. And yesterday we spent the day in Steinbeck at the Steinbeck Mennonite Church in delegate meetings. And so what Lizzie and I decided was I would talk a little bit about the sessions, the joint sessions, and she's going to tell you bit about at the workshops that were done. So there wasn't a lot of business conducted at the joint session. At the overall session, mostly we worked on the budget and passing that, and that's, of course, significant for all of the member churches. You might remember, I think we passed the budget here last Sunday, right? And we noted, if we looked at our financial statements from last year, that we contributed less than we had set out, and we've talked about that, and we've said, well, we can only forward to our conferences what we have left over at the end of the year after we pay our expenses. True enough. But we're encouraged. Now I don't have the numbers right in front of me. The shortfall was somewhere around $100,000, so the plan projected amount for this next year is about $100,000 less than last year. They're simply working with what is reality. But on the other hand, perhaps we can say the mission that is going on is a good thing. And so, I just wanted to say that as we contribute to Mennonite Church Manitoba's financial plan, we continue to support the work that Mennonite Church Manitoba and Mennonite Church Canada do, both internationally and locally. We benefit from resources for pastors, from conference work. We benefit by our understanding of faith being passed on in various locations. We benefit from Indigenous settler relations ministries, and so it's a good thing for us to continue to be involved and to support. That, I think, is what I have to say after that. And then Lizzie's going to talk about something special.
Yes. So I was not at the Leadership Day on Friday. I was taking a midterm, which I think was probably less exciting and probably less educational too, but it's okay. I think I passed. But I was in Steinbeck yesterday at the Mennonite Church Manitoba meetings and had the chance there to attend an AMBS lunch and then I attended one of the workshops that focused specifically on leadership. So Sarah Wanger-Shank, who is the current AMBS president, will be retiring this spring. And in that lunch and then in the leadership session that I attended, there was discussion about the changing nature of seminary education and how both AMBS and CMU are adopting and adapting to that and developing their resources for the laity. And there sounds like there's a lot of need in the community and there's a lot of fit within the community of Winnipeg for the MDiv program that CMU will be offering, and also AMBS's Connect online hybrid programs. In the leadership workshop I attended, there was also talk about the work that Mennonite Church Manitoba does to resource leaders, and how there's a growing need for intentional interims within our denomination. And also one of the questions that was posed was what kind of resources are becoming available or are available for Mennonite leaders who are not in pastoral roles. So that's something that I think Rick and Kathy took out of that meeting. The other workshop that I didn't attend but that I want to report on is the camp workshop. We have Hunter Cron and McKinsey and Keely Zacharias are all planning to work at camp this summer. It's a pretty important part of the youth's lives, and I think of just the congregation and the church as a whole. Camp is a very important ministry. A shift in the way that the budget has been set up has occurred so that they as in camps, will be functioning, they'll be providing oversight to their own operating budget instead of that coming out of the Shaftesbury office. And so in some areas, their budget, they have more salaries that they'll be paying, but their overall budget decreased. And so out of that workshop, I think there were presented ideas on ways that congregations and individuals could continue to support the camp ministry. One of them would be if every congregation pulled in a kid from the community and paid for that kid to go and be a camper for a week.
If all of the congregations did that, it would help cover some of the budget shortfalls. Another option that was provided would be if 1 to 2 households per congregation committed to $20 of giving a month to Camps with Meaning, that $240 a year from 80 people, or about 80 people, would also help cover their budget shortfalls. So those are out of the meeting yesterday announcements. I have a couple of other youth-related announcements while I'm here. I'm just going to claim the territory. On Wednesday, the youth will be going to the United Westminster Church to take part in the Ash Wednesday service. That will be at 6:30, so we will meet at 6:23-ish in front of the doors. Yes. Okay. Yeah, so it sounds like Ben and Mitch are being voluntold to carpool from this end of town from the church, so we'll all send out an email with those arrangements. But anyway, just that there's a time change for that. And then there's still time for youth to sign up, junior youth, for the retreat this weekend. We have at least one youth going, and it should be an all-around good time. Hopefully I'll be awake enough to preach on Sunday.
I hope that too. All right.
Anyone else would like to share something? It's your opportunity.
Hi, I just wanted to share from the Personnel Committee. I hope everyone has received their survey by now, and we're encouraging you all to please take the time to fill them out. And I also wanted to make sure that you know if you're not a member, you're also encouraged to fill out a survey and then just circle non-member as well. We'd like some information from the non-members who attend regularly as well. Thanks.
And just also for the SMORG that we talked about last Sunday, the notice is at the back for you to sign up to help us. And for the baking, because we have some allergy concerns, we want to make sure that everybody knows, please, when you bring your baking, nothing with nuts, no peanuts. That would be really appreciated. Thank you.
No one else? Thank you. I took number one in the bulletin out of the announcement because it's really part of sharing, isn't it? I think it's hit all of us very hard this past week when we got the news that Pastor Gary Martins had died. So our condolences go out to Carol Martins, the son Jeremy, Tamara, and Wesley Max Zawatsky Martins, Carissa Martins, Aaron Denisiuk, and William Martin Denisiuk, and Christina and Elroy Peters, and the extended family and friends in the passing of Gary Martins at the age of 62 on February 28. Now, a viewing service will take place here in our church on Thursday evening, from 6:30 to 8, with the devotional at 7 p.m. And the funeral service will take place at the Steinbach Mennonite Church on Friday at 10:30 a.m. As an expression of our sympathy and empathy with the family, and a word of comfort and expression of faith, let us sing together the hymn that Carol chose for us. 615 shall we gather at the river. 615, and we'll sing the first and the last two stanzas, 1, 3, and 4. Let us stand, and we'll remain standing after the hymn for the prayer. open your hymnal to 720. 720, we'll have responsive reading on this prayer. Let us pray. Listening God, you hear our prayers before we speak, yet welcome our praying. Therefore we come with confidence to lay our requests before you. We pray for Christians everywhere, for our denomination and for our congregation, for faithfulness and strength to persevere in righteousness. We pray for the whole people of God. We pray for the nations of the world, for all leaders, and for those who make policy decisions. We pray for the commonwealth of our global community.
Lord,
we pray for those who are overcome by violence, for victims of injustice or oppression, and for those in poverty or pain. We pray for all who need healing and peace. We pray for those who endure trials, for those who are dying, and for those who mourn. We pray for all who need comfort and hope.
Lord, hear our prayer.
You have heard the prayers of your people, O God. We rest in the comfort of your care as we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Please be seated. We will now receive the offering and sing hymn number 86. Now thank we all our God. The psalm reading earlier, and now the gospel reading from Mark. They, that is Jesus and his disciples, came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still, and he said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight, and he followed him on his way.
Good morning. It's good to be gathered with you here this morning and to experience your warm welcome and this fellowship. Over the years, I've had a few opportunities to be in this space. Some years ago, I attended the funeral in this church of one of our faithful and dearly loved Sam's Place volunteers, Anne-Marie Giesbrecht. I also have a memory of accompanying international MCC guests when they spoke here. And last spring, your congregation very kindly hosted MCC Manitoba's AGM. And so for all of these interactions and your hospitality and your support of MCC throughout the years, I thank you. And I recognize that today your congregation is in mourning. And so I hope that the tone of the meditation is fitting with also what many of you are carrying with you. As was said earlier, I work for MCC as the program director, and I've done that since 2005. My roots have varying degrees of depth in England, Ontario, Quebec, Switzerland, and Manitoba. My mother tongues are French and English. Marrying into a family of Russian Mennonite heritage has deepened the spiritual roots of my faith that are Swiss Mennonite and Anglican in origin. Growing up in Quebec in the 50s and the 60s means that Catholicism was also added to that spiritual heritage. I'm married to Robert. Our family consists of 4 adult children, their partners, and 5 grandchildren. They fill our life with meaning. We are members at Fort Garry Mennonite Fellowship here in Winnipeg. You've invited me here this morning to share in the worship service of the last Sunday of the church calendar before Lent. In some church traditions, the season between Epiphany and the first Sunday of Lent is known as Ordinary Times. Some refer to this Sunday as Transfiguration Sunday. Whatever way in which your congregation chooses to mark this season and this Sunday, it seems fitting in some ways to take some time before the deeply reflective and soul-searching weeks of Lent to reflect on how Jesus' message has and continues to move us and move you to radical action. You invited me because I work for MCC. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't have invited me. I think that's pretty true. My assumption is that your interest, to varying degrees, is to be inspired, challenged, and renewed in your faith journey through the lens of the work of MCC. I will be sharing more from an MCC Manitoba perspective, as this is the work that I have done most recently and I'm most currently familiar with. As the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, the TRC, brought its work to conclusion in May of 2015, the TRC offered to the Government of Canada, to the churches involved in the residential school system, and to the Canadian community at large, a set of 94 calls to action. These calls to action gave government, churches, and Canadian society at large a concrete framework and clearly articulated tool to enable us to right the wrongs of the past and build on the firm foundation for the future. The concept of calls to action is now being used quite frequently by different organizations here in Manitoba. For example, Make Poverty History's document, Make Winnipeg Poverty Free, provides calls to action in 9 different areas, such as education, transportation, and housing. It offers to the city of Winnipeg concrete ways of addressing poverty. And MCC Manitoba has signed on to this initiative. The Winnipeg Indigenous Accord, that some of you may have heard of, is a municipal initiative that invites participation from individuals, nonprofit, and for-profit organizations, business, churches, to get serious about engaging with the TRC calls to action in our city. Every year, signatories to the accord are to report on what calls to action they have worked on and how they have worked on them. It's an organized and interesting way of keeping us all accountable for our actions. MCC Manitoba has also signed on to this accord. Other than keeping us accountable, the Winnipeg Indigenous Accord provides us with a broad network of people and organizations from whom to draw resources and inspiration. In the case of MCC, we are focusing specifically on the calls to action intended for the churches. Calls to action are different to recommendations. Calls to action not only invite a shift in position or a shift in approach, they provide specific direction. When a committee or an organization receives a report with recommendations, one hopes that action will ensue. But when a set of calls to action is received, well, they push just a little harder. There's an undercurrent or an overcurrent of expectation and anticipation. This call to action spells out a way of stepping out of what is into something new and healthier and more life-giving. Being called to action is a familiar theme for the people of God. Responding to God's call in Old Testament times through the loud and reverberating words of Jeremiah or Micah, or in the New Testament times and today because of Jesus' simple yet powerful message, responding to God's call has always involved action. The theologian Walter Brueggemann, in an article entitled Evangelism and Discipleship, The God Who Calls, The God Who Sends, says it well, in my opinion. God's call disrupts the lives of settled people, both in biblical times and now. God sends, then and now, to transform the present world, subject to alien powers, into the world God intends. Discipleship and evangelism are therefore not primarily about church membership and recruitment, but about an alternative way of being in the world for the sake of the world. He goes on to say, consequently, the persons and communities called by this God for praise and obedience and sent by this God for justice, mercy, and faith also live among and in contestation with other gods, other loyalties, other authorities. Inescapably, the ones called and sent are always yet again deciding for this one who calls and sends. This endless process of deciding again and again is accomplished in freedom from all other calling gods and all other sending loyalties. That endless deciding, moreover, requires great passion, imagination, and intentionality. Reflecting on the action aspect of discipleship, I observe 2 broad categories which I would like to talk about today. One is seeking good, and the other is giving voice. In my work with MCC, both internationally and in Manitoba, I've been moved again and again by people in our churches and beyond who have heard the call to seek good. And the outcome has been something real and practical and beautiful and life-changing for themselves and for the people that they have reached out to. Our actions are often inspired by previous action, love and generosity that we have received, which moves us to further action and generosity. Approximately 10 years ago, our migration and resettlement program received an inquiry from missionaries in Macau. They were in contact with a refugee family from Syria living there, and there was no future for them in that country. This family was involved in their church, and they were growing increasingly concerned about what the future held for them. Through a long and extremely convoluted process, this Syrian family eventually came to Manitoba. They were sponsored by Douglas Mennonite Church and jumped enthusiastically into life here. They engaged with the best of what Canada had to offer and did not forget the community they had left behind. To date, this couple has worked tirelessly to support newcomers in Winnipeg, and whenever I meet them, they say, "We will help anyone. It doesn't matter where they come from." In early September of 2018, MCC Manitoba was approached to see if we would have the capacity to sponsor 7 large Syrian families who had connections to Manitoba. If we could, they would arrive within a month. And I know that this church has done numerous refugee sponsorships, and you probably know that a month is not a whole lot of time to prepare for 7 families to arrive. But with the collaboration of this couple and funds from the federal government and an organization called Lifeline Syria and the tireless involvement of other newcomers, we were able to facilitate the arrival of these families in Canada. The conversation began in early September. All the families arrived by the end of October. For my colleague Bellity in the Migration and Resettlement Program, the profoundly positive memories of that day when almost everyone arrived at the Winnipeg airport was the response of the bystanders at the airport, both the staff and the travelers. Countless people approached her and said, "What is this all about? What are you people doing? This is truly amazing. Keep up the good work. Can we take pictures? This is so incredible." The commitment to sponsor a Syrian family unknown to them came at some cost to Douglas Mennonite Church many years ago already. People had to give up some funds, some time, and some cultural assumptions. Their lives were disrupted. They allowed themselves to be disrupted because they heard the call. The interesting thing and risk when one responds to a call to or with action is that the disruption might well continue for a long time, as it has in this case. The awareness of the plight of refugees in the Middle East and beyond, and the challenges of settling well into Canadian life, is in this community's consciousness, this one, Douglas Mennonite, and many others in our community. They and we have been forever changed because of the resounding yes that we spoke back then. Because of a sincere and informed decision to seek good, Douglas Mennonite stepped into a whole new reality. They've been surprised and drawn into an alternative way of being in the world for the sake of the world, as would say Walter Brueggemann. The second aspect of discipleship that I would like to highlight is that of giving voice. Giving voice can get kind of messy. It creates a greater degree of discomfort than seeking good, I think. Discomfort in the context of Christian community. Discomfort in the context of the larger community. It is often said that action speaks louder than words, but words sometimes disturb more than actions do. In the text that was read from Mark 10, the blind man is visible to the people assembled to hear Jesus. We don't really know who was in the crowd or what their intentions were towards Jesus. Were they looking forward to hearing what he had to say? Were they Jesus' sympathizers, or were they Jesus' critics? We also don't know how obviously blind the blind man was, but he clearly caused some disruption. He got in the way of the rest of the group's intentions. He was probably poorer than most, and as the children's story said, he was a beggar. He was probably easily disregarded because of his physical challenges, and there was probably not a table set for him at the social table. Jesus disrupts the gathering even more by actually hearing the call of the blind man over the din of the crowd and listening to the blind man's request. He doesn't ask him, "How did you become blind?" He doesn't ask him, "Did it happen when you were born? Did it happen because of a disease?" He doesn't ask him where he lives. He doesn't ask him if he has a family or if he lives on the street. He doesn't suggest to the blind man that maybe he could manage because he has people to take care of him, or maybe he could find something creative to do despite his blindness. Rather, Jesus takes the blind man at his word and responds to him. Sometimes, even when we take the time to hear disrupting voices, it's hard to take them seriously or to take the next step of believing them and believing the degree to which they experience pain and loss and injustice. Throughout MCC's history, there's a strong thread of giving voice. Much of our work has grown out of the experience of seeking good and has brought us to a place of giving voice. Some examples that come to mind over the course of MCC's history in Canada are victim offender work, such as Open Circle here in Manitoba, speaking out on low-level flying in Labrador, and more broadly giving voice to the plight of Indigenous people in our country, working with high-risk offenders through circles of support and accountability, speaking out on sexual abuse in our families and in our churches, and currently giving voice to those who suffer the painful and destructive conflict in Palestine and Israel. For a faith-based organization like MCC and a Christian community like yours, giving voice can be risky business. Giving voice is unsettling and yet often impossible not to do. Close to 30 years ago, Isaac Block, a Mennonite minister and teacher in Manitoba, gave voice through his research on domestic violence in the Mennonite church, and I use Mennonite church broadly. He gave voice to the countless women and girls whose stories had until then been mostly silenced. His work gave birth to the program Voices for Nonviolence, which is now housed under MCC Manitoba under the name Abuse Response and Prevention. This program developed resources on domestic violence, victim support, child sexual abuse, sexual misconduct by clergy, pornography, all taking into account the context of the church. We've led workshops, we've preached sermons, we've assisted individuals and congregations in very complex and painful situations. We have resources on our website, and our program is promoted by staff, in our print materials, and on the MCC website. But even after close to 30 years of consistent, diligent, and arduous work, the program remains discreetly utilized and has a low rate of requests for help and resources. I and my colleague in this program are regularly told that people in the constituency, including pastoral leadership, don't know about the program. I don't think it's because the Abuse Response and Prevention program is not promoted by MCC. I think rather it is because it makes us uncomfortable. In the words of Brueggemann, it disrupts the lives of settled people. Like the blind man calling for Jesus' attention above the din of the crowd, it's hard for us to hear the halting voice of a victim. And when the perpetrator is among us, and maybe someone we love and respect, it's even harder to hear and to believe this disturbing and disruptive story. And yet, giving voice is a hopeful action. It acknowledges the pain. It acknowledges the losses. It moves the individual victim, the collective victim group, the affected community, into a new relationship with those who have given them voice, believed them, and sought to work for change. In the words of the Christian activist Jim Wallace in The Soul of Politics, hope is the engine of change. Hope is the energy of transformation. Hope is the door from one reality to another. Hope is believing in spite of the evidence and watching the evidence change. Through the work that MCC has done in this program, we have experienced change in seeing victims begin to heal, in women and men listening to each other, in church policies creating safer boundaries, in honest conversations happening more often and more openly around the wounds that only deepen when victims are not believed. At the end of May of 2019, so in a few months, Mennonite Church Manitoba and the Mennonite Brethren Church in Manitoba, together with CMU and MCC, will be sponsoring hashtag Church2Manitoba, a conference about sexual misconduct in the life of the church. It will take place at CMU. This conference is yet another place where victims will be given voice. It will also be an opportunity to learn, to reflect, and to commit to hearing and acting, because we have heard the call to action. Your congregation has a long history of communal life and discipleship. I have no doubt that the actions you have taken throughout your existence in response to God's calls are numerous and probably hard to quantify, measure, or even name. Throughout your life as a church, your actions have been both individual and communal, and have disrupted your settled lives over and over again. On this last Sunday of ordinary times in the church calendar, it may be a good time to reflect on the ways in which your church has been called to action and to celebrate those responses. It may be a good time to remember how you have experienced God's faithfulness and how his faithfulness has moved you to greater compassion and love for your neighbors near and far. It may be a good time to ponder what God is calling you to act upon into the future, individually and as a community. What are the needs that you are aware of that invite the kind of action that is inspired by Jesus' response to the blind man, as in our reading from Mark 10? My prayer for you as you continue to live out the story of North Kildonan Mennonite Church is that you will pursue Jesus' calls to action, that you, as disciples of Christ, will always be willing to be disrupted and open to the profound joy that disruption brings. I'd like to end with a quote from Dorothy Day, who's the founder of the Catholic Worker Movement, which began in New York City in 1932, at the height of the Depression. And something about what she says rings true today. One of the great evils of the day is the sense of futility. Young people say, "What can one person do? What is the sense of our small efforts?" They can't see that we must lay one brick at a time, take one step at a time. We can be responsible for only one thing at a time, the one action of the present moment. But we can beg for an increase of love in our hearts that will vitalize and transform all our individual actions, and know that God will take them and multiply them as Jesus did the loaves and fishes. In the midst of this ordinary time, may you also be blessed by the love of each other as you celebrate the life and ministry of Gary, and how his ministry contributed to your congregation's responding to calls for actions. Thank you for this time together.
Thank you for the call to action. And let us respond by singing together When We Walk with the Lord, 544. 544. I'd like to say again thank you for coming and sharing your time with us. And if I may, I would like to say give greetings to the Fort Carey Mennonite Fellowship. Haven't been there for a while. As a closing hymn, we will sing Heart, Loving Heart United, 420. So you want to open your hymnals there. 420. So let's stand for the benediction and the closing hymn. Lord, we God, our God, we thank you for this day, for reminding us to be listeners, to be open. And now we ask that you bless us and keep us. Lord, let your face shine upon us and be gracious to us. Lift your countenance upon us and give us your peace now and forever. Amen.